Well, good afternoon, all. Can you hear me okay? Great, great. I was just noticing in my email that my computer seems to have sent another round of reminders about this meeting, so I apologize for the spam in your email if you've been getting it.
Just got it, actually, but that's okay.
I've sent in the chat bar a link to our meeting agenda. And let's go ahead and get started because we certainly have a lot to cover today. So I'm just going to go down the roll call. Some people have already mentioned that they won't be able to tune in today. Of course, that's totally fine. Thank you to everybody who's been working on this project. To everybody who's able to tune in right now for this meeting, and also for people who are catching up later with the recording. So we always appreciate your help with this pretty big project, as we all now know. Okay, I'm going down the roll call. Alexandra Orchard, are you around? Maybe soon. Alexis Adkin? Anna Kephart, Annie Tang, Betsy Baldwin.
Yep.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
Caitlin Wells.
Yep,
Christy
Tomacek.
Hi, Caitlin. Christy Tomacek.
Hello.
Hi. Devin Proudfoot.
Hi.
Hi, Devin. Eleanor Blackman. Elizabeth Wilkinson. Ella Van Holtum. Emma Jolly, Greg Farr, Jane LaBarbera, Joanne Archer, Joanna Carl isn't able to make it today, John Andres, Lavinia Chufa, again, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your names, Linda Hawking, Linda Sellers, Lisa Callahan won't be able to come in, Lynn Moulton, Margaret Kidd.
Hi.
Hi. Mariella, I heard you earlier. Hi.
Hi.
Megan Blair, Megan Lyon, Malaka Cotman, Monique Sugimoto, Olivia Solis, Sarah Chetney, Sarah Cassone, Susan Reller, and Thomas Allen. Okay, great. Thank you. So yes, we have a lot to talk about today. Let's see here. So discussion of the plan going forward. First, I wanted to get a rough poll of teams on who feels like they're basically done with their documentation. Now, that could be a kind of trick question, but I mean, who feels like they've contributed, like they feel like they're done with contributing to their documentation? So does anybody need more time with contributing, working on their documentation? And so the reason why I'm asking that, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The reason why I'm asking is because I'm hoping to pull together a team of editors to start stitching together the group's documentations, so that way we can organize it. Like if some people are talking about the visual layout of top containers and other people are talking about the functionality of top containers, we can put those together. So if your team feels like you definitely need more time to flesh out your particular topic, just shoot me an email. I get the feeling that some teams feel pretty good about what they've contributed so far, and so we can focus on integrating those first. But I would ideally love it if perhaps we could finish up all of our documentation by next week. So next week on Tuesday, so that way we could send out a draft to you all. And I'm hoping to ask the teams to proofread this draft overall report by a page count. So say, all right, you team, why don't you proofread pages 1 through 10 or something like that. It could be a really long document, so that's why I'm saying that. But again, we always, it's always whatever anybody can manage. Currently, we have me for visual and pretty much overarching stuff. Alexandra Orchard is representing navigation. Betsy Baldwin is representing visual and organization of menus. And Lynn Moulton is representing data entry. And I'll need someone from, customization and functionality and time-saving devices. Any volunteers so far?
Lydia, do you have anyone from user accounts and permissions?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, I'd be happy to help.
Great, thank you so much. And Caitlin and Lynn, well, let's see here. I think you guys also were willing to jump in earlier, so I'll put you on there. So thanks so much. And of course, additional volunteers are always very, very much welcome. All right, great. Thank you. Thank you, Caitlin. So let's kick it off. The customization, functionality, and everything else group. Would you guys be willing to talk today?
Yeah. Okay. Hi. I'll be just sort of running down very briefly what we've sort of worked on and addressed. Here, let me try to share my screen. I'll just be going through the document that we shared today. Okay, can people see that?
Looks good.
Okay, great. All right, so the just general overview, we looked at aspects of the interface related to customizing the displays, mostly with fields as well as the search and browse options. Looked at the relevant jury tickets and what, you know, was definitely clear was that people do want to be able to customize their view of archive space at a repository level as well as an institutional level. We also addressed a few of few issues related to terminology and some feature requests related to new functionality or customization. So several JIRA tickets requested some way to customize the view of data entry, especially to be able to hide fields that are not relevant for an institution or a repository, as well as customize the either the labels or the order of fields and save those into templates. So we support that. We think that would be a great idea. Allow users to select which fields are displayed within a record, either on a repository level by adding a checkbox or other sort of selection method for choosing which fields display. For example, if you're creating a collection level minimal finding aid, there will be some fields you might not use, while if you're doing a fully processed collection with item level description, there'll be fields that that would be more relevant. We did suggest that it would be good to be able to use templates to save these and then apply those to different types of records, accessions, resources, digital objects, agents, etc. And they allow to choose which fields are most important, specifically, you know, a new collection versus a creation of existing collection. There are certain fields that we, you know, would use for university archives as opposed to historical manuscripts. The ticket AR 1506 brought up the question of allowing users to determine the order of modules or fields within the user interface. Users are currently able to choose note order in their user preferences, so we support being able to do that with all of the fields to choose the order in which they display on the staff side to make a little more sense. Search and browse display, there are really two ways we could go about improving search and browse results. The first would be to increase the number of fields viewable by including additional predefined fields. And the second option would be allow users to set their preferences. So currently the browse columns allow you to browse accessions, resources, digital objects by various fields, but that doesn't include fields people really wanted dates and extents to be options, so that you could browse by the size of the collection and the dates covered. So we'd support adding these two fields to the choices of browse columns. Adding these records could be problematic because there can be multiple dates and extents within a collection or an accession, and it's unlikely we'd want to display all of those. So that would be something that would need to be kind of figured out. And in addition, many accessions and resources have multiple extents, and the application of whole versus part varies from institution to institution. Additional consideration is whether all fields available in the basic information collection module should be available as a choice to browse. Users do like to be able to use that default sort while browsing. So here we go. Additionally, for searches, there are some difficulties in the search results because it's difficult to distinguish what collection objects are in, as well as which collection they're associated with. So for example, we included a screenshot here of archival object correspondence. Almost every collection some of us have includes a correspondence object. So there's currently a few ways to solve this. Allow users to customize the fields for search results to display more fields. So for example, include the identifier or the record type or the title of the collection in addition to the title of the archival object. Another option would be to incorporate features of the public interface, for example, the found in line as displayed in the UI hierarchy in a screenshot here of what that looks like. We also addressed repositories, suggested that you should be able to brand distinctive repositories within the ASpace instance. We interpreted it, I think the visual interface or the visual layout team also looked at this. We interpreted this as a concern for branding the repository on the staff user interface on the back end rather than the ability to change the branding in the PUI via the staff interface. So the instance already displays which repository or record is located in. So we weren't quite sure what the use would be of doing, you know, the visual branding in color, you know, or logo. For a screen organization, AR988 requested being able to view the record resource hierarchy tree along the side. The visual layout team did a much more thorough examination of this already. they noted the options as well as the drawbacks, so we didn't want to replicate that work. This team agrees that it's useful to be able to see the hierarchy tree while you're editing a resource record. So either moving that window to the side as it is in the public user interface or freezing it at the top would make it a little easier to edit records while working on them. Terminology, we looked at the term subjects. It's not inclusive of all control vocabulary. We suggest the use of the term access points, which covers genre terms, functions, occupations, and geographic locations. Background jobs, nobody really knows what a background job is unless you've been using ASpace for a while. We did have some issues kind of trying to figure out what would be a good thing to rename it. One suggestion was tools. Another option would be actions or functions. And that's one thing we would kind of think the group as a whole should probably think about. Background jobs, they have the option of print to PDF to make it clear, maybe change that to generate PDF, as well as the term reports created to create report to line it with the other options in the menu. Feature requests, a spell check. We do think it would be useful to run a spell check on specific fields, specifically the note fields, but there could be challenges with implementation for all fields, as we probably don't want it going through personal names and acronyms in the agent fields, getting into sort of a repetitive loop of having to skip multiple proper names. The version control, someone suggested having the ability to control which version, or to see what version of the of a record is being displayed. We weren't entirely sure what that would mean, which aspects of version control would be helpful. It's already possible to see which user most recently edited a record, but we weren't sure if the request meant being able to see a full list of everyone that's edited that record, or the ability to revert to past versions of a record, or simply to see what previous iterations of a record looked like. We can see, you know, some use in being able to revert to a past version. For example, if a student or volunteer comes in and just completely screws up a record, and we have to revert it, but we aren't entirely sure what this request was asking for. And finally, we discussed the collection management module and agreed that there should be a evaluation of that module to eliminate any sort of duplicated or overlapping processing information between events and this module. We did note that I think it's the RFP for a new top container module is coming out, as well as the collection management module assessment module from Tufts, and that this might have to be addressed in the future once those new modules are introduced. And I think that's about it.
Great, thank you so much. Does anybody have any questions for Caitlin?
This is Mariela. Just taking a question. On the, I cannot see the customization document. I'm actually in the Google Drive. I see under the draft specifications, I see data entry, navigation group, user accounts, and visual group. I do not see this document.
Okay.
Am I the only one?
This was the final draft. We sent it out earlier today. We were working on it kind of last minute. And Joanne Archer sent it out to the group as a whole this morning. Let me see about what time it went out.
But it's not on the shared drive.
Okay.
Shared drive.
Okay.
At least I can't see it.
Okay. Here, I will. I'll go through and drop that in there. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Since we have a whole group here, do people have any ideas, opinions about the renaming of the background jobs to potentially tools, actions, or functions? Functions. I thought actions was kind of nice too.
I liked tools and actions. But actions seemed to be the one that incorporated the most of what's in there, but also everyone has different preferences and some of those things don't really count as actions.
Yeah, it's tough any way you slice it right now. And so then the other thing that we had talked about in an earlier meeting was just some institutions have created their own local background jobs, but it's kind of a technicality of where to put that, like as far as mapping it to a certain area. And so one thing we had talked about in one of the meetings was to do away with that overarching folder and just add it as a subsection of the menu as it currently is. So just not having that nested label in the first place. I don't know.
And I've looked the draft, just going back, the draft that was sent out is in the shared drive. It's in the ASPACE staff interface project draft specifications, customization and terminology. I renamed it so that it's final draft hyphen customization and functionality. So it's a little easier to find and distinguish.
Great, thanks. Right. So just to continue to hash it out, it looks like Alexandra also mentioned getting rid of that overarching theme of background jobs. Do people have thoughts on that? It's okay to disagree too, because it is true that these other terms could be helpful as well. Malaka also says import, export, and print might be something to look into a little bit more. Plenty of debate going on there.
I think if the background jobs are import, export, and print, and I don't remember if there are more, if it's only those three, it may just be better to enter them all. I mean, call them as what they are. Because people may forget what background jobs mean, or right. Even actions means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if I were to try to share my screen, let's see here. Do you see this Archive Space instance right now? So potentially, what I was thinking, and it's okay to disagree, is doing away with the nested label right here, and just adding all four of these just down here. It's already in a kind of under a kind of section. I don't know what that would be, but that could be another option. Christine, do you know if that would be a possibility, or is that too complicated?
In terms of taking out, like adding these four types of jobs to the menu itself?
Right, so getting rid of background jobs.
Yeah, I think the reason probably that they're grouped is to keep that menu from being even longer than it is. But I think that's the only function of the grouping. Technologically, anything is possible.
Lydia, if you go to the wheel, you also have background jobs there. And that's the one I was referring to. That doesn't have anything just in background jobs. It's the same thing. But if you went through that, you would not see, you need to remind yourself what it is. So click and go on to the various. So there are two places, basically, what I'm saying. One is the one you were pointing out, and now you're actually showing under the wheel.
I'm wondering,
No, please go ahead.
Oh, I'm just wondering if we should talk about the menu organization now, because some of this is addressed in that spec.
Yes. Okay, great. Alexandra, good segue. Should we move along to organization of menus? I think it's really good that we're having these discussions, and please feel free to follow up on those docs to comment. Hopefully people are able to receive these comment alerts in their email, and I think it's important to hash out these details too to get several perspectives on things. So let's keep up the this discussion going forward. All right. Thanks, Alexandra.
Sure. Lydia, can you stop sharing your screen? I'll share mine. Thanks.
Yes.
Let's see. There. Okay. Are you seeing the organization of menus?
Yes.
Okay, great. So the first one I'm going to start with is this admin menus, the ANW 101. So this was basically to consolidate administration into a single place. And I moved that into the navigations team's user preference management spec because we had something similar. So basically, the one that we had that was similar was the system menu versus the cogwheel menu, since they both included the management options and people were toggling back and forth. And some of these options had to do with managing options at the system level, and some of them had to do with managing options at the repository level. So this is just a screenshot of the current menu navigation behavior, and you can see the system right here, the cogwheel here. So this is some of the proposed changes. We would replace select repository, which was here. We would replace that link with a dropdown and link that displays the name of the current repository, which in this case is the Ruther repository. And then a dropdown when you click on it that lists all the repositories that the system holds. And then if the user clicks on it, they can change the repository. So for example, if I clicked on cheese materials and then clicked change repository, I would be taken to the cheese materials repository. Another change would be having account information directly within the account link. So right here is my account. And if I click on that, I get a drop down with my account, global preferences. We modify this to have the actual name of the repository just to kind of further reinforce where you're at, and then user preferences. And then down here, we've merged system and the cogwheel. So it's renamed system and then and the name of the repository. And we've regrouped some of the menu values here. So let's see, selecting an item or dropdown icon would open up this dropdown, removed managed user access because managed users page now contains that functionality, and I'll get to that in a minute. My one concern here was if there's any concern about intermingling system and repository functionality. And that's what this JIRA called for, but I mean, obviously the user would only get what they have access to per their preference or per their permissions. But I'm worried that there could be confusion here, whereas before it was separated, but that can cause confusion too. So that's what we did for this one. I don't know if you want me to keep going or if we want to talk about this, because I know there's a lot here.
Let's go ahead and keep going.
Okay. So the next item in menus that we worked on was the permission. So this is user permissions, how to handle user access. So that one is also in the user preferences spec. So this was just consolidating manage users and manage user access in the same place. So before these were two separate screens, and this mockup just basically consolidates them into one. So when you go into edit your account, you can add it. You can edit your personal information, and you can also edit group permissions if you have permission to do so. So it would just require changing the breadcrumbs. You would update headers so you have personal information, and then you have group permissions, and then that group permissions page table is added down here. And then there's a note: this only gets displayed if the user has permissions to view it. The next item we did was browse, which was just to add top containers to the browse menu, which was pretty simple. We just added that down here under classifications. I also noted, I wondered if there was any value into including imports, which would list the imports, which is currently a function of the background jobs. I'm not sure if it's needed here, but I thought it might be enough just to have it accessible. It might not be enough to have it accessible only through the create imports flow. So I wanted to bring that up. Also on the create dropdown, we added some things. So this was what I brought up before. So we added the container profile, which would take you to home container profiles, new container profiles. Default values was asked for. So this is what you see. It's sort of in a wonky spot right now when you click on accession, when you're in the list of accessions and resources, and then you can create the default values here. It would enable you to do it from the menu. I removed background jobs, and then I elevated everything that was in that background job submenu to this menu. One thing I did not do, and I wasn't sure how best to handle this, we could add something like print or print to PDF. Right now, what I was thinking was we could put that under exports, and then it would do print to PDF, mark, and EAD all and download container labels all there. So you could do that for a single resource if you needed everything. But I wasn't sure if that was too much, but that was one alternative we could do. Let me see. Imports would just go to the current new background job page. It would just need to be rebranded as imports. Reports goes to the reports page. I think that's pretty much everything, which I know is a lot. So what questions do folks have?
Nesting the print to PDF, exporting EAD and everything like that sounds pretty good to me, especially since there's another way to export the PDF via the resource view as well.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion. Yeah, Alexandra, good job. Yeah, this is great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. All right, any other feedback for Alexandra? Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'm glad you guys like it.
Okay. I will jump into the visual layout team specs. Like everybody else, this is really hot off the press with the ink still wet. So I will go ahead. I'm going to discontinue your screen sharing, Alexandra. Let's see here. So this is the visual layout specs. Oh, sorry, I need to move this around. We came up with a lot of solutions or a lot of proposals, and so we're really interested in hearing your feedback on this because it is pretty subjective and there is a lot of decisions to make. So some of the overarching issues that we wanted to address is maximizing the use of the screen and trying to reduce the need for scrolling and clicking, both within the computer view and the mobile view. This document also addresses accessibility, visual accessibility issues within the current staff interface. So I'm walking down this document, which is pretty long, of just comparing Archivist Toolkit and Archon. So some things that some people have missed about Archivist Toolkit is the ability to just see everything, almost everything that you need to write within one screen. But there is some drawbacks to that as far as accessibility, and it's also not mobile friendly at all. It's not mobile friendly because you have to scroll both you would have to scroll both right and left, which is, it doesn't quite work, especially you can replicate it by condensing your screen. It's not very responsive that way. Also comparing to Archon, some things about that particular program is that there appears to be a lot of ways for the staff to interact with editing their data, even through the public interface side. Which is something we wanted to explore a little bit more going forward. So in these recommendations, we didn't want to just go with anything because it was familiar, but we wanted to look back to see whether there was some additional positive lessons we can learn from these older programs that could help us going forward. The first thing about the accessibility is I actually have a Chrome plugin for Wave. This is the web accessibility something program. And it's really helpful. You can also drop a web address into their website, and it will give you a whole list of potential errors and alerts and features where you can analyze websites to make sure that it's accessible for people using screen readers. So the current staff interface has some issues with contrast and sometimes also with undescribed links, sometimes also with not quite structured lists and things like that. So the devil's in the details. Going forward with a revamped staff interface, it would be really important for developers to take a look and use the Wave tool, which is free, to make sure that everything is covered here. Another thing that I hope that we can do, which I wonder whether maybe the time-saving group was able to address, is the ability to do keyboard commands and to make sure that the interface is completely tabbable, because that's another aspect of accessibility for people potentially using screen readers. So making sure that there's not a single one way to accomplish a task, and making sure that nothing relies solely on finding and clicking and dragging via the mouse. Let's see here. With the current staff interface, it is a kind of a problem to have this continuous scroll of the resource outline in the middle of the window. And so that is not only disorienting for new users who kind of get caught scrolling in the middle of the screen, not realizing that they can scroll on the outer edges, but it also makes it really difficult for screen readers to get out of that. And additionally, pop-up windows, say for the rapid data entry and top containers, is also problematic for accessibility. So trying to find a way to either have that in new tabs or in a navigable screen view within the browser would be preferable. Moving along to the staff login, we'd like to have the sign-in to be more apparent, because currently the sign-in button is pretty small, and additionally that was one of the features that was pinged for having a not quite strong enough contrast. So whether it's increasing the sign-in button in the top right, or perhaps even moving it to the center of the screen, that's something to look into. I don't know what it would take as far as web security if you just have these open fields here, but that would be pretty nice to reduce one more additional step of having to click to open up something. So another potential approach would be to move the sign-in to the left. And so the reason for that, I'll get into a little bit later on down. Another possible solution is to have the staff interface sign in via the public interface. So this is taking a note from Archon about having a link to the staff interface on the public interface, which probably would direct to the earlier staff interface page right there. So to address briefly the functionality of the public interface for staff, logged in users, one thing that we were hoping to have is more prominent location information and display like staff relevant information, such as the repository processing note or other unpublished components. So whether that's in a separate tab for staff information, whether it's here or over by citation or print, or whether it's just tacked on to the collection overview, for example, and perhaps having the location information be in the container inventory. That's one thing we were thinking about. I'm just looking at a comment about the public interface does have the ability to go between the public and staff interfaces as long as you're logged into the staff side. That's absolutely correct. So if you're logged in, there is currently sometimes, probably all the time, a staff section right here, I think. Where is it? It depends on where you're selected. So say if you select a collection organization and then you go to staff, then it will lead you to the editing the resource record, like the overall resource page. If you're in the container inventory, then I think it will lead you to the top containers for that particular collection. So yes, that can be very helpful and a good feature, but what I'm particularly trying to address is, say, for example, staff that are paging materials, and especially if they're using a mobile phone, how to make sure that the location information is very clear. So that way, it's not only for people adding the data or like it gets a little bit more flexible for other uses of archive space, basically. I'm thinking about, say, archives reference staff who sometimes the repository processing note might have some information about, I don't know, people put all kinds of stuff in there, but something that might be kind of helpful and a little less of a intimidating barrier for people who aren't used to the actual data entry portion of staff interface. All right, so designing for the F. So this is a pretty widely accepted idea within user experience that users tend to look at pages in an F pattern, skimming from the top left across the top, down the left column, and then to the main content extending into the center region. And so this is mirrored in the function of screen readers. We were just experimenting with a lot of different potential layouts, and I'm really interested to hear your feedback. People's thoughts about whether the login should be on the top right, top left, all of that is valid in either decision, either option. So I really am interested to hear your thoughts about it. So a potential idea here was that the current branding icon is taking up some prime real estate in the upper left corner. So an idea was to either move it to the center or to the far right. And so this is a potential mock-up that I created, which I think we can incorporate with the work that has already been done with the organization of menus and navigation team too. So about the customization, basically the staff interface, I'd like to see as much capabilities as possible with the staff interface, especially for people who aren't able to get into the back end, or if they don't have the kind of code knowledge to comfortably make these kind of customizations themselves. I know that there is a lot of tech assistance for people using archive space, but I think having an ability to intuitively, similar to other web design programs, drop a JPEG or something into that, not only for branding the staff interface, but also to do some basic customization of the public interface would be really nice. So going along to looking at the layout for editing resource records, we really grappled with this. And so again, if you guys have ideas or feedback, I really want to hear it. So a potential solution that Margaret brought up was to freeze the pane. So that way it's always at the top when scrolling through the record, similar to an Excel sheet. So the only challenge I see there is about accessibility, because I'm not sure about how one can navigate by keyboard, say from scrolling through the resource record to jump back to this outline. Another possible solution would be to move the navigation to either the right or left side. So the drawback to this approach, this particular screenshot doesn't quite demonstrate that. But a drawback to this potential approach would be the lack of real estate for instance information, box and folder information. So that is a real challenge right there. And so an idea could be to hover over the top of it so that way you could see the full information for each line. But again, I don't know how that would work as far as accessibility with a screen reader. Let's see here. So I'm very interested to hear your feedback. Another option that I thought of was to have both the resource tree and the selected archival object outline be kind of stacked on top of each other next to this edit pane. So this is walking a little bit closer to Archivist Toolkit, but then of course you also run into all these issues about, which box is the screen reader going to jump to first, and also is this going to be okay as far as being scalable for a mobile interface. But within the resource tree view, one thing I wanted to address was making sure that the suppressed archival objects and restricted materials were very clear and apparent. That's something in some JIRA tickets that were requested, and so that's what I wanted to add in here. About locations. Currently, my particular institution hasn't added many of our locations besides our barcodes for offsite storage. So if any of you use locations at your repository, I'd really like to see some screenshots of what it all looks like. As far as the box and folder information, one thing I'd like to see is giving more priority to that. Say, for example, what I did was I condensed the screen a little bit so you can see how the date is being covered up by file and mixed materials. And then there's actually, or at least I haven't seen a way to scroll laterally within this resource tree. So at this point, the only way to see what the folder information is to click on each line. Or else expand your screen. But you know, if that's not a possibility for some reason, I in general, I just think that perhaps maybe we could have the box and folder kind of supersede the file and mixed materials area. That would be nice. Let's see here. More about breadcrumbs. This is something we've been kicking around a lot within our meetings here. And so I'm really interested to see your feedback about that, how much detail you would like to see. So the resource ID is something that's pretty well agreed upon. Would series, sub-series, like the whole address, would that be too much, or would that actually be nice? And so the idea I had was for it to update as you click on each line, basically, to give yourself some more orientation in how things go. So let's see here. We already talked a lot about background jobs, but we played around a little bit about how it visually looks. So what we did is we took this create job and moved all the components underneath as a menu down below. These would be buttons, but I'm not very good at wireframes. And so, say for reports, currently you have to click to expand the reports. And so then what I wanted to do instead was to move the select buttons to the left side, which is more mobile friendly and also is easier, say if that screen is condensed side to side, and moves the description up next to the report. And then you've got your drop down for selecting what format you want it in there. And this is all out of the spirit of reducing the need for clicking and scrolling. And and to address printing to PDF, this current view, and then with the current view, you have to scroll down always, as far as I know, with every computer I've used to access the download PDF. So instead, we proposed moving download to either having the link down here at the bottom of job status or off to the left side, or possibly both. Here's more information about the mobile interface. So you can see the layout for the mobile interface gets kind of, well, I've proposed a couple of ideas for it, and it may be a little bit easier to look at from there. One thing I hope to have is the ability to just condense the record type, the creator, and the subject, because literally if you use the archive space with your phone, you're going to be scrolling a long time before you even get to editing the resource record. And then another thing to think about is trying to make sure that these buttons are appropriate for selecting with a finger too. So in not wanting to redo the entire program specifically for mobile, going forward, it would be a good idea to think about how it can be scalable for both sections. I'm trying to catch up on these chats right here. Recommend the capability to scroll hierarchy pane left and right, and the ability to resize the columns. We then resize the column with file series, etc., to show the first letter. Ditto for the mixed materials, audio, etc. Yeah. If there's a way to, similar to an Excel spreadsheet, just pick what is important to you to see, that would be very nice. Okay, moving along. In the search results, one thing I'd like to see is the ability to do view all, which I understand is going to be a bear, especially when you're looking at like thousands of search results reviews. But having the ability to do a control F on all that might be very helpful too. Another aspect that we brought up was the toggle view of intellectual versus physical arrangement. So this is something taking from the public interface. That would be just something kind of neat to see, but I'd really like to, I think it could be a little bit more fleshed out, so I'd really like to hear your feedback on that. So addressing the date modified in the search results, currently the date modified is only for users that are editing the top resource information. I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but say if a student adds a new archival object within that collection, I am pretty sure that it doesn't record that within the last modified section. So do people have any thoughts on that? in general, it would be nice to explore a little bit more about what would be needed for what would be helpful functionality for version control. Okay, moving on. Another question that we had was just about the view mode in general. So sometimes when you access a record, you might accidentally get into view mode and then you have to click into edit. So it's tricky because there are some permissions where you do have view only. But as far as for most cases, I wonder whether edit should be more of a default. Let's see here. Okay. Yes, some people don't use the public interface and prefer the staff to be in view mode. Okay. All right. So more about restrictions. Okay. Just having the ability to quickly grasp the restrictions within a collection would be very helpful, especially for reference staff that will be handing out the materials. Let's see here. Another one is just about confirmation of actions. So say when transferring a record, some of these buttons are pretty good about doing a visual confirmation, and some of them you don't quite know what happened because there is no visual feedback. So in this particular case, there isn't, but that could be a really easy fix right there, either by changing color or by changing a message. Probably saying something like, this action will be completed, and these particular transfers are always frightening because it does take some time to show up on the other side. So some kind of warning of that effect would be nice too. This is more of my kind of scrappy first wireframes. So things to think about is just that there are these two areas of search bars right here, which are redundant, but when you are looking at the mobile interface, it does make more sense to have it right here. So lots of questions, not as many answers right now. Other things about the screen display, about what we had talked about earlier with the search results. So this last modified area, one question that we had is whether that was actually worth having on the search results page. So this is a kind of big question about what fields would be helpful for most cases. So for example, would this last modified information be more applicable for somebody who's actually delving into a specific resource? So should it actually be in the resource view page instead? Oh, there it is right there. Maybe move that. Let's see here. Another aspect is to make sure that the fields for each box is responsive and starts small, just so that way, again, we don't have to scroll down so much. These drop-down menus have already been discussed. So that's our long and dirty explanation of our documentation. It was a huge project, so thanks for putting up with listening to all that. Any thoughts? Any feedback from anybody? So I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. And it is 1:59, and I know a lot of people have to get going, and especially it's been challenging to hear me drone on about this for a while. Do people feel like they after viewing all this, do people feel like they need more time to work on their individual topics, or do you feel like it would be a better use of time to start combining topics and organizing a final report? Yes. It's now 2 o'clock and okay, great. Some people say they need a little bit more time. Yep. Okay. Some people need more time. So yes, let's aim on trying to finalize our documentation on Tuesday. And this way it will give another week for the editorial team to jump in there and start organizing things. And at our next meeting, we'll send out a link to this draft recommendations. And I might get in touch a little bit beforehand to assign teams to some proofreading. There is a lot of issues, actually, that we've brought up, all of the teams have brought up this whole time that we haven't had a time to really hash out and discuss. So possibly another productive thing that could happen during these next 2 weeks is for teams to think about the documentation that they've created and the questions that they haven't quite answered yet because they need more user feedback, and send that to the list. So it can just be one question, or it could be a lot of questions. But I think it would be important to poll people and see what other people think about these ideas. Sound good? Okay. So let's teams, if you have questions you'd like to send out to the whole group, that would be great. And keep working on your documentation. And our editorial team will be in touch on Tuesday, and then we can start working from there. Thanks for sitting through this long meeting, and good luck with your weeks. All right, catch you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.